Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17 says this, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, faith is substance. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. Thank you for your word. I pray you'll give us open hearts and ears and eyes to see and understand, Lord, your word today. Help me to be accurate in teaching it. And I know, God, that every person here represents a different place in their life. Lord, maybe different needs, Lord, different things that's going on right now. I pray, God, that you, by your Holy Spirit, will take what we teach here this morning and make it applicable to every person's life and every situation that they're going through, God, so that they might be blessed, that they might be built up and encouraged by it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, I love to teach on the topic of faith, and we've talked a lot about that, talked about, you know, what faith is action, talked about how the idea of faith is how it actually can be interpreted as title deed, that through faith, we actually take ownership of something. It belongs to us. Those things that God has promised us as a part of his covenant are ours, and so we possess them by our faith. But this is a little different angle I wanted to look at today, and that is the idea of this idea of faith and substance. When I think about this, they seem a little bit contradictory, because when we talk in human terms, those two words, faith and substance, can seem to be contradictory, because faith we often take as like a belief. It is a mental and maybe sometimes it involves an emotional, you know, component to it. But it's something that is a mental thing. It's not something tangible. It's not physical. On the other hand, substance is exactly what it says. It is material. It has matter to it. It is substantial. It has particles. It has atoms. When we talk about, you know, things that you can touch, take a hold of, that are substantive. So faith seems to be more of an idea, a mental agreement, a belief, and yet substance is something that is physical. So they can seem to be contradictory. And yet we see in Scripture that faith is substance. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." So we see this connection between a belief and substance. And it doesn't say that one leads to the other. It says faith is the substance. So I want to look at that a little bit, how we understand a belief and material matter being the same thing according to Scripture. First of all, I want to look at the definition of substance. When we read that something, it has substance. It means the real physical matter of which a person or thing consists, and which has a tangible, solid presence. So it's just like I said, it's matter. It's particles. It's physical. It's solid. Okay? That is the definition of substance. When we think of faith, we think of something, as I said, it's a belief, it's an idea, it's a thought, it's something that's mental, as opposed to something that has matter. So how is it that something that has matter and something that have thought, how can they be equivalent? How can they be the same thing? So we want to take a look at this. If you take the word "the" out of it, it says, now faith is the substance. If you take the word "the," if you just remove that word "the," it says what? Faith is substance, which now you know where I got my title. So in this passage, substance, The Greek word, it means literally translated as the continually undergirds our confidence in the certainty of God's covenant. When we say faith is substance, it means that faith undergirds our confidence in the certainty of God's covenant. So that's what it means, that it is substantive. We have no doubt about it. So I want to go back and take a look at our opening passage and begin to work our way through this. Let's go back to Colossians 1, 16 and 17. It says, "For by him all things were created." things being substantive things, okay? Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, or all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things, right? Colossians 1, 16 and 17 tells us that all things, all matter, everything that exists was created by him and for him, visible and invisible. And that's another thing that's going to be, it's a little bit tricky when we hear about physical and invisible, that we have the physical world and then we have the metaphysical world, that spiritual realm, which we have a hard time with, but from God's standpoint is just as real as the material world. And God created all of that, all things, all right? So by him, all matter, whether it be physical or metaphysical, they were created. The matter that makes up earth, the matter that makes up heaven, the visible and the invisible, it was all created by him. All authorities, all powers, all nations, if you will, when it talks about thrones, those kinds of ideas, they were everything is created by him and for him. And it says, not only that, it says that he was before them. And that's going to be key in understanding matter and substance. He came before them, before any physical realm in this universe existed, he existed, okay? And so he is before all things, and in him it holds together. He sustains it. If it were not for God holding the created world together, it would just fly apart. We need to understand that there is a realm of matter that we, as I said, that we cannot see. We have the physical realm, which we can all see here today, and there's the metaphysical realm, or the spiritual realm, that we cannot see, but it's just as real. And I'm just going to touch on that very briefly. We need to understand this. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen." Now, I don't know about you, but when I try to fix my eyes on something that's not seen, I can't see it. It's kind of hard, right? It just gets blurry. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we're told in Scripture that there is a realm that exists that we don't see with our physical eyes. We have to know it in the spiritual realm. And in fact, as I've said, talked about this before, that's the real world because it's eternal. This physical world that we can touch, that has matter, it's going to come to an end. It's temporary. But the metaphysical world is eternal. It's going to last forever. That's the world that we need to focus on. Because nothing happens, nothing manifests, none of this matter and what goes on in this realm occurs until it first occurs in the metaphysical realm, in the spiritual realm. That's the real world. That's where things are really happening, and then we see it manifested here. So if we really want to focus on where the real deal is going down, we're better off to focus in the unseen world. So that's why he says, fix your eyes on the unseen world. He's saying, fix your eyes on God. Fix your eyes on the principles of God. Fix your eyes on the Word of God. Fix your eyes on understanding how God operates and what he's doing and what he's trying to accomplish. And then you'll begin to understand better the things that are going on in this world. We understand that matter and substance, they are being used synonymously here. When I talk about matter, when I talk about substance, I'm talking about one and the same thing. There is no matter that existed before God created it. We read, he is before all things. 1 Corinthians 1:17, right? He is before all things. Before anything, any of this physical world existed, God existed. He is before that. So what is the source of matter? This is the one key thing. Whenever an evolutionist asks you, where did God come from? You say this, I want to ask you a question. And you can find the most brilliant scientist that has ever lived, and they cannot answer this question to this day. Where did matter come from? We don't know where it came from. We can't create it. We can't destroy it. It simply is. There is no answer. That is just as an impossible question to answer as asking, where did God come from? But if you understand Scripture and believe it, then you know where matter came from. Where did the matter come from this world? Because we're told that God existed before any matter existed. How did matter, where did it come from? Well, God must have created it, right? If no matter existed before him, and now we have matter, and he was before it, then he must have created it. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith, that's our substance, remember, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that if what is seen was not made out of what was visible. There wasn't something visible. God didn't take a matter that already existed and then shape it into something else. It says he made it out of something that did not exist. He made it at his, what did it say? His command. God spoke the world into existence. He spoke matter into existence. The source of all matter that exists in this universe today is the product of God's command or God's word. Without God speaking it, it does not exist. You might be thinking, what about the bad and evil stuff that exists in the world? That God did not create bad and evil. Bad and evil comes not from God's creation, but from how we use God's creation. He did not create it. Everything God created, according to Genesis 1, is good. God spoke it, he created it, and he saw that it was good. Evil comes from how we use it. So if all of the substance or matter of creation came from God, what substance was there before God spoke the created world into existence? What was there before God created, before he spoke matter into existence? God is the substance of all created substance, or God is the substance that all created matter comes from. God is the substance of where all created substance comes from. So if faith is substance and God is the substance of where all substance comes from, then faith equals God. Faith is substance, right? There was no substance before God created it. He was the only thing that existed. And he caused it to come into creation. So therefore, when you boil it all down, faith is God. This goes along with the idea I've always said. Faith is not believing something really hard. Faith is trust in God's faithfulness. I don't trust me to have enough faith to accomplish something that's really difficult. But I have no problem or trusting in God's faithfulness. I trust God's faithfulness a whole lot more than I trust my ability to have faith. What I just said there is really critical in understanding this. Did that make sense? I trust God. It's easier for me to trust God's faithfulness to accomplish what needs to be accomplished than me depending on my having enough faith to cause it to happen. So faith is substance. It's the substance of what I believe and hope for. Let me look at Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, if God is the source of all substance, and therefore substance and faith are one and the same, therefore God is faith, okay, all those connections, then I can interchange the words God and faith. I want to reread that passage of Scripture interchanging those words and see how it reads to you. See if it still reads okay. Remember, and I'm just going to, I read, by faith, God was taken from this life. Well, let's read it this way. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life. By God, Enoch was taken from this life. Does that still work? Who took Enoch? God, right? So that he did not experience death, he could not be found because faith had taken him away. Now, in the actual passage, it says God had taken him away. But God had taken him away because of what? Because of Enoch's faith. So I can read here, because of his faith, he was taken away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God, is what it originally says. But what if we say he was one who pleased faith? In other words, he kept faith. He was true to his faith. He pleased faith. And without faith, we read in the original passage, without faith, it's impossible to please God. What if I read, without God, it's impossible to have faith? That still works, right? Because anyone who comes to him must believe or have faith that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So we can change those interchangeably. That makes sense. We can change them interchangeably. And it still works. Are you with me on this? So, we read this passage, it still works. God rewards those who earnestly seek him by making substantive changes in their lives. Isn't that why we spent time here this morning in prayer? We prayed because we have needs that we need substantive changes to. Whether it be in our physical, whether it be in our emotional, financial, spiritual, or metaphysical, we need God to change the reality that we're living into the reality that he created us for. We need him to make substantive changes. And instead, it can be in the physical or the metaphysical world. By providing substantive changes, God meets our needs. If we have talked about God meeting our needs, if he didn't change the circumstances of our situations, then he's not substantively meeting our needs. Amen? He does it by changing those situations. So, by providing substantive changes, he meets our needs. So, let's go and talk a little further at the connection between faith and substance and God. How did God create? It was his command, his word. He spoke this matter, this physical presence that we see all around us, of everything in the physical realm, exists because he spoke it into existence. He spoke matter. So he spoke it by his word. Who is the word of God? Do we know the word of God to be? Jesus, right? Jesus is the word of God. How are we in covenant with God? Through the person of Jesus, right? So Jesus is the word, he's the spoken word of God, and we are in covenant with God through Jesus. Everything that we can have faith for is in God's word. It is substantive because God's word says it. He's speaking it. If he speaks it, then it exists. It exists because he speaks it. And that's the substance. And we access it because Jesus is the Word. And it is through his work on the cross, his sacrifice, death, and resurrection, that we have access to the substance of God. Those promises, those things that he spoke. In a lot of ways, the Bible, it does two primary things. It reveals to us the nature and character of God, and it reveals to us the ways, and along with that, the promises of God. That's what this book is primarily communicating to us. Those promises, God made them because he spoke them to us. They're real, they have matter, they have existence, they are substantive because he spoke them. And that's where substance comes from God speaking them. This is a bit of an involved here today and how all this works. But I teach it to increase our faith, our confidence in what God promises us here in His book. So God spoke the world, matter, into existence. It exists because He spoke it. It is substantive by His Word. And Jesus is the Word. And we access the substance of God, the promises of God, the things that He spoke because of Jesus, the Word, who is the person that makes us be in covenant with God. These things are so tightly connected, you cannot separate one from the other. You cannot separate these things, the God, His spoken word, the person Jesus, the substance that comes from it, the promise, the covenant, all these things absolutely work together. It's like, I always liken a lot of these biblical ideas to our bodies. I've never done this. Judy will verify this. I always wanted to go and be able to take a class in college, not for any other reason. I just wanted to take this one class, not to go on and do anything else. I just wanted to take this one class. I wanted to take a class where we got to work on a cadaver. I know some of you think that's strange. I just find the human body, it's fascinating how God created all this and put it all together and work. I tried to get him, when I had my appendix out, I tried to get him to give me a local so I could watch, but they wouldn't go for it. We had a friend in our church in San Diego who was a veterinarian, and he would do surgery on animals, and so he knew my interest, my macabre fascination, I guess. So he'd have me sometimes, I'd come over, and when he was doing surgery on an animal, I'd cauterize the little bleeders, well, so I could, and it's funny because I remember one time he was doing surgery on this cat, and he cut it open a lot bigger than he needed to so he could take parts out and show them to me. And I'm like, I said, so are you going to charge him extra for the extra stitches you had to put in because you cut him open for bigger than you normally would? Anyways, I know in medical school, if you do these kind of things, you discuss all of the body organs and their function and how they work and what they do individually. And so you can take this body part out and set it on the table or whatever and discuss it. And you can understand them all individually, what they are, what they do, what their purpose is, how they function. But you have to, and we do that sometimes with biblical ideas, such as God, Word, faith, covenant. But we have to remember this, just like body parts, none of it works without all the other body parts being connected, doing their part. You cannot take just one body part out and have it live on its own. It's dependent upon all the other body parts doing their function. And that's the way it is with this. I'm talking about these things and how they're connected because it's important to understand that they do not work separately. They all go together hand in hand. Everything that we can have faith for is in God's word. It is the substance. Faith is the substance because faith is God and God is substance. Jesus is substance and we access God's substance through our covenant with Jesus. All of these things go hand in hand. Remember how I had defined substance earlier from the Greek. The definition of the Greek means to continually undergird our confidence, the certainty of God's covenant through Jesus. So this idea of substance means we are confident that God's word, those things that He spoke into existence, are going to come to pass. Let's look at Acts 3:16. Acts 3:16. It says, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through Him that has given His complete healing to him, as you can all see." Faith is what? Faith is substance. Faith made a substantive change in this man's physical body so that he was healed. It didn't make a theoretical change. Didn't make a theological change. It made a physical change. It says that it was by faith or substance in the name of Jesus, which Jesus is the Word, and we have access to God's covenant, his substance, through the covenant with Jesus, that this man was made strong. He was healed, all right? Gave him complete healing. So faith made a substantive change in this man's life, but it was through Jesus, who is God's Word, and it is by God's Word that he speaks substance, because he spoke the world into existence. Amen? Now, you know, sometimes these things get so tightly connected. I mean, it gets hard to distinguish them. And I'm not sure that's a bad thing, because we need to understand how they work together. Acts 15:9 says, he made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. He purified their hearts by substance. So I read the Acts 3:16 because that was a physical substantive change. I read Acts 15:9 because that is a spiritual substantive change. He changed their hearts, right? He purified their hearts. Now, we know that when we talk about purifying the heart, the physical healing that we read about in Acts 3:16, that was physical. We all get that. His body became strong and he was healed. But the purification of our heart, it's not like somebody took our heart out and washed it off, washed the dirt off of it. It's not a physical change. It's a spiritual or metaphysical change. It's still a substantive change that is not possible without God. Because without God, our hearts are all fallen. And we can conceive evil. Amen? But it is through God that he made a substantive change in their hearts. He made no distinction between them. He purified their hearts by faith or by substance or by God. Ultimately, he did this through, we know he purifies our hearts through the work of Jesus. Why is that important in this idea? Because Jesus is the Word, and the Word God speaks is substance, and therefore, through Jesus, he makes a substantive change in our lives. When we need things, when we go to God and, you know, we seek things from God. Now, I would encourage you not to make all of your prayers about simply seeking things from God. You know, he's not a vending machine that we just get things from him, all right? But there are things that we seek from God, such as salvation, baptism, healing, you know, whatever. The critical thing in all this is to remember this, because Jesus is the substance, the Word of God. Don't seek salvation, seek the Savior. Don't seek healing, seek the healer. Don't seek baptism, seek the baptizer. Because it's all about the person, because the substance comes from the person of Jesus Christ. And he is the promise, the covenant by which we enter into that relationship with God to receive those promises. Acts 3:30 says, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith, or he justifies us, if you will, by substance, and the uncircumcised through that same faith, regardless of whether we are physically, ceremonially circumcised or whether it's simply a spiritual circumcision, it says it is still justified the same way through faith. Through the substance of God. It is him that causes this to happen. We don't have to just be the physical matter part of it being circumcised, because we're told that ultimately circumcision is a circumcision of the heart, that it's a spiritual thing. It's still done the same way because it is God that's doing it in both the physical and the metaphysical realm. And there's one thing I kind of understand its importance, but I'm never going to really be able to do it. But it's really helpful for all of us if we can get the idea and the understanding and think in terms that the spiritual realm is as real or even more real than the physical world that we live in. And I know that's difficult because we live in the what? We live in the physical world. It's in front of our eyes, our ears, all right? Our taste, our touch. 24/7, 365. So that's hard. But it's good as much as we can to remember that the spiritual world is even more real. And that's the world that we need to focus on. Let's look at Romans 4:13. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. Abraham and his offspring received the inheritance of God by the inheritance of God. What did he promise them? What did he promise Abraham? He's going to have all these descendants. More descendants than stars in the sky and sand on the seashore, right? That's something that is substantive. He promised them the land, right? The promised land, Canaan. That's substantive. God's promise to Abraham, that covenant, was substantive. And he received it how? It comes by faith. So this covenant that God established and God and Abraham receiving what was promised, the substance of what was promised, came from the substance of faith. When God made that promise to him to substantively add to Abraham and his family, he was promising him substance. And he accesses that substance because faith is substance, and that righteousness comes by faith, it says. That faith undergirded, as I said, his confidence that God would fulfill what he had promised him. If it sounds like I'm talking in circles today, I apologize, but it should demonstrate to you how closely these things are connected. If anything, I would hope that over time, my teaching on faith gets us well beyond the idea that faith is simply something that we believe. And the reason I say that is because when we think about a belief, we pretty much think of it as something that occurs right up here in our mind between our ears, and that's where it is. That's all that it is. A belief does what? It happens up here in our mind. And I want us to understand, and why I spend so much time teaching on faith, is that faith is so much more than simply thinking or agreeing with something in our mind. It is action. It is substance. It is material. It is matter. It is God. It is Jesus. It is the Word. All of these things. And that's why it may sound like I'm talking in circles, because all of these things are dependent upon each other and in some cases virtually interchangeable. Let me try to wrap this up. In Genesis 15, where we read about this whole covenant of God with Abraham, God reveals himself to Abraham in a dream. God promises Abraham children, right? He promises him the promised land of Canaan. God establishes covenant with Abraham, and Abraham believed him. He had faith, and God changed that substance of Abraham's faith into actual substance, matter, right? But it also was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham believed or had faith, and God changed the substance of Abraham's nature and made him righteous. Abraham was not righteous in God's sight until he believed God. So God not only brought forth the substance of children and all of, you know, the generations to come and the promised land, he also brought the substance of changing Abraham's nature. Faith not only brought the substance of the promise, offspring, and land, it also brought the promise of a changed nature. It brought the substantive changed nature. Beforehand, Abraham was unrighteous. After he exercised faith, God made a substantive change, and he was now righteous. So both things happened with him believing God's promise. Abraham faith, and because God revealed himself to him, he needed that revelation. But when he received that revelation, he accepted it. And everything, all aspects of that covenant manifested because he believed, and substantive change took place. Let's look at John 1:1 and then verse 3 real quick and wrap this. And I'll try to wrap this up quickly. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we have the Word, right? He's Jesus. The Word is also God, and the Word is also substance. Through him all things were made. Verse 3. Without him nothing was made that has been made. When it's talking about the made, it's talking about the physical world, the material world. Again, these things are all interchangeable. I hope this doesn't confuse you too much. It's almost like saying, how can God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit be, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be the same and different? God, the Word, substance, faith, how can they be the same and yet be different? They depend on each other. It's different manifestations of God's Word, different manifestation of God's promise, different roles that he acts in. Roles for him to play and roles for us to play. Roles that we interact with and roles that God interacts with us through. Both direction. Direction has a lot to do with it. But here we see it all tied up. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 3, and through that Word, right, all things were made. Psalm 33:6 says, by the Word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. Clearly we see here that material substance, matter, came into existence through God speaking it. The heavens and the starry hosts are made by the breath of his mouth. And we know that from John 1:14, that word that caused that to come, that breath of his mouth became flesh in the person of Jesus and lived amongst us. So we see all of this, that faith is substance, and we have it through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus was the faith, the substance that God spoke to live into the world. That we can have a relationship with him through Jesus. And let me wrap this up. Hebrews 1:2 says, but in the last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. So again, we're back to seeing that Jesus, right? He has spoken to us through Jesus, the Son of God, but it also, through him, the whole universe was made. So again, we see all of these things connected. Jesus is the Word, so God did make the universe through Jesus when he spoke it into existence. How has God spoken to us? He's spoken to us, it says, through his Son, Jesus, who is the Word, who is also the Word. This is a manifestation. The Bible is a manifestation of Jesus because it is the Word. So he's spoken to us through the person of Jesus and through the written Word is Bible. They're one and the same. While we may not see the Father with our eyes, we have seen and can see Jesus because he's the Word. We are to be constantly undergirded with confidence in his covenant because it contains all of the substantive changes God wants to make and to provide in our lives. How do I know what substantive changes that God wants to make in me? I know it through his Word, which is his substance, which is Jesus, which is his covenant. All those things. How do I know the substantive changes that God wants to make? How do I know the substantive changes he wants to carry out in this world? How do I know that God is at work and what he wants to do? I know it through his Word. Again, I'm going to go round and round and round. What is his Word? How did the world come into existence? By his Word. That's where matter comes from. It's all connected. So I say all this to end up at this one. I'll summarize it this way. If you view and have always thought of faith as simply believing something, stop doing that. It is that, but it's so much more. It's so much more. Faith is substance. If I physically hand you something, is it easier for you to believe that you have it than if I just tell you, oh, I'll get it to you? Why is it easier for you to believe it? Because I handed it to you. It's substance. It's in your hand. It's matter. You can feel it. I know that God, there may be things He hasn't put in your hand yet, but here's the substance, His Word. And He speaks it into existence. Faith is substance.